From our nation's capital, this is Naps Chat.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make believe it came from you.
Hi, and welcome to this week's edition of Naps Chat. I'm Bob Levy, the Director of Legislative and Political Affairs for the National Association of Postal Supervisors. Some of you may have thought that the election season was over, but it's not. There will be two runoff elections in the state of Georgia that will take place on Tuesday, January 5th. The Senate majority will be decided by the outcome of these two contests. The Republicans will retain control of the Senate should the Republican incumbent senators win either both or one of the two races. Should the Democratic challengers win both races, there would be a 50-50 tie in the Senate, in which case Vice President-elect Kamala Harris will be able to break the tie once she is sworn in on January 20th and her replacement is appointed by the governor of California. Thus far, nearly 1 million voters have already requested absentee ballots in Georgia, enabling them to vote from home. This represents more than 75% of the absentee ballots cast on November 3rd. Consequently, the Postal Service remains a pivotal player in continuing to deliver democracy for America, or in this place, in the state of Georgia. In addition, last week the Postal Regulatory Commission finalized the new rate-setting process for U.S. postage. In part, the Postal Service would have the flexibility to adjust rates beyond the inflation-adjusted rate cap, taking into account its statutory requirements relating to funding retirement benefits. Also, postage could take into account shrinking mail density. What that means is the increase in cost of delivering mail per delivery point due to increased addresses for mail, with also the decreased amount of mail volume. The Postal Regulatory Commission would also permit increased postage to account for mail that failed to cover their costs, such as periodicals. With all this in mind, my guest this week on Naps Chat is our National Secretary Treasurer, Chuck Mulledore. Chuck, welcome to Naps Chat.
Thanks, Bob. It's great to be back. It's great to be back. Yeah, thank you.
I don't think I've ever asked you this before, Chuck. Yeah. But when did you start in the Postal Service, and what's changed over the years that you've been in the Postal Service?
Well, first, let me say I hope everybody had a good, safe Thanksgiving and got through the holiday safe and well. I guess I started in the Postal Service in 1988. I was a casual clerk when they had such things. I was a PTF clerk after that, and then I became a letter carrier. They took me aside one day and said they were going to do away with all the machines because they had this new thing coming out called DPS, and they would never need clerks anymore. And I was like, well, what am I going to do? I have young kids at home. Well, you can go be a carrier. So I became a carrier for 9 years and then went into management in the late 90s. What's different now from then? I guess it's the difference between living in George Washington's time and living in today's time. It's a completely different post office in many ways. Automation has changed our job with less people, less mail volume, more parcels, those kind of things. I think at the end of the day, though, we could talk about so many differences, but the one thing that's the same from 1988 to 2020 is the people business. It's a people-driven business. We still deliver mail. People still process the mail. People still collect the mail. With all the machines we have and all the internet services that we have, all of the ways of tracking movements of carriers, clerks, supervisors, and plants and delivery units, it's still a people business. So there's been a million changes, and it's a 180 degree difference from day one till today for me. But at the end of the day, the most pressing thing and the most important thing is that it's still a people business.
One of the major changes that's occurred since last year is the pandemic and how it has impacted the Postal Service and the delivery of postal products, and the importance of the Postal Service to America. On that level, or with taking that into account, there's a possibility of a coronavirus vaccine. It's on the horizon. We're watching the FDA and different drug companies start to market and start to distribute those products. Now, postal employees are frontline public service providers. Do you think that the Postmaster General should advocate on behalf of postal employees to be among the cadre of public employees who are towards the front of the line to receive vaccinations for the pandemic?
Yeah, I think one thing that was clearly revealed to the rest of the world, now we already knew it as postal employees, right? But I think one of the things that has been revealed to the rest of the world during the pandemic, as well as the election, is just how vital and important the Postal Service is to the American public and the vital role it plays in American democracy. So we knew that, but now the whole world knows it. And we have finally been recognized as essential employees, delivering the mail in a pandemic, the medicines, delivering ballots in a pandemic to further democracy. It just highlights how important we are. So while I would say we want to make sure that with the coming vaccines that healthcare workers, those on the very front line of life and death issues, have access to those, if there's a first, second, or third, first responders and all that should be first. However, yes, I do believe that postal employees on the front lines delivering the nation's mail, processing the nation's mail, supervising those that process and deliver the nation's mail should certainly be included in that list of essential employees who should be at an early phase, an early point in getting the vaccine.
One of the other issues that is of vital concern to NAPS members, of course, is consultative process. Now, for those who've been watching the trade industry news, postal news media over the last week or so, would note that the National Association of Letter Carriers, which is currently the largest postal employee, they recently came to a negotiated agreement with the Postal Service over a labor contract. It now gets sent to its membership for a ratification vote. Once the NALC members ratify that agreement,
right,
what would be the timeline for the consultative process? And our process is tied to the ratification of a labor contract for the largest postal employee union.
Right. So under the law in Title 39, and anybody who follows anything about us and understands in our pay that we're governed by Title 39, Section 1004, and that says that our organization, which represents supervisors, managers, and so forth in pay consultations, has to wait until the largest union finishes its contract negotiations. So at this point, the largest union is the NALC. For many decades, it was the APWU. But for this, for the last two contract negotiations, pay consultation process for us, we had to wait for the NALC to be done. And they have been typically the last union to come to agreement with the Postal Service. So that being said, they just reached a tentative agreement on a 44-month contract. That has to go through the ratification process. So once that is finally ratified by the membership and that's certified, the Postal Service has 45 days to make us a pay proposal, us being NAPS, a pay proposal, and that would start the consultation process between NAPS and the Postal Service.
As you know, and as our folks have sort of been educated legislatively over the past year, there is bipartisan legislation that was introduced in the current Congress, H.R. 6085, introduced by Representative Jerry Connolly of Virginia and Congressman Michael Bost of Illinois, and in part, their legislation would remove the linkage between the ratification of the largest union's labor contract and the USPS's submission of a pay package to National Association of Postal Supervisors. Do you think this linkage should be broken?
Well, clearly, 6085, which would have allowed our consultation process to be separated from the unions, is worthy and necessary to have. Now, with the new Congress being seated 1st of January, that will have to be introduced. I'm sure you and Ivan will make sure that a new bill is introduced.
Absolutely.
And the new bill is introduced in the House. And if there is bipartisan support for a companion bill in the Senate, I'm sure that that will happen. It needs to happen. There's no reason for us anymore. There really is no reason for us anymore to have to wait until the Postal Service collectively bargains with all of its four major unions. It's almost as if we're, you know, we're last in line. Let's get the unions out of the way, then we'll go talk to those guys. And it kind of demeans, I think, the importance that we have in the entire chain of the Postal Service. So it needs to be decoupled. We should be able to open pay consultations upon the expiration of our last pay agreement rather than wait, in some cases, years to get an agreement on our pay. The last issue that we had with NALC, if you recall, it dragged on for months and months and months before there was finally agreement. We waited for more, almost 2 years before we could open pay consultations. So it doesn't make sense, and that needs to change, and we have to have a bill that would allow us to no longer be tied to the unions and their pay negotiation process.
Interestingly enough, the new consultations, assuming the letter carriers ratify the agreement, mm-hmm. would begin despite the fact litigation continues on the previous contract, previous consultative decision. There's sort of like an asymmetry to the decision-making process over supervisory pay and benefits.
Right. So it gets back to that point about the NALC, their last negotiated process, taking quite a long time. So we didn't really begin to talk significantly about our last pay consultation process, which covered 2016 through 2019, until about 2018, because of the length of their negotiations. So we were discussing pay and benefits for years that had already passed. So we went through the process. I'm sure hopefully everyone on this who listens to this knows we went through the consultation process. We could not come to an agreement with the Postal Service. We went through fact-finding. The independent fact-finding panel completely agreed with our position that the pay system was unfair and should be changed. Unfortunately, the law says the Postal Service can take that into account but doesn't have to follow the recommendation of the fact-finding panel. That also was in the legislation to change that process too. There should be some type of binding process where if we have to go to some independent panel, their findings are binding upon both parties, and we're for that. So we went to federal court to sue over not only the process, but the results of the consultation process that led to what we thought was a very unfair and is a very unfair, and still remains a very unfair pay system. So now, as you know, that kind of wound its way into the system. COVID became an issue and so forth. So several months ago, a federal judge dismissed our case, not on the merits of the case, but simply said, you don't have the right to sue the Postal Service in federal court, even though you have done it several times in the past and had hearing in front of a federal court several times in the past for your issue with the Postal Service. It's the opinion of this particular federal judge that the relief that we were seeking in terms of the pay system was found in the law, that we should take our grievances to Congress and change the law. So his feeling was, you have a system in place in the law to change the system if you don't like it, and that is through intervention by Congress. Well, we strongly, obviously, disagreed with that, and we believe that that's an inaccurate description of how the law applies to us. So we filed an appeal, and that's in place right now. So that's with the Court of Appeals here in D.C. Could take some time. We have to file our initial briefs later this month. The Postal Service will file their briefs a month or so after that. And so we're probably into the spring or summer before we have any type of indication whether or not the Court of Appeals will grant us the relief and allow our case to be heard back in the federal court system. So you're right. It's very possible that while our pay, I don't like to say the word agreement because we didn't agree to that pay, but our pay system that the Postal Service invoked upon us and we took to federal court could be an issue in the court system at the very same time we're consulting for pay for the period from 2020 onward. It just highlights the need for us to have either the Postal Service or the federal court system intervene and say, let's sit down with the leadership of NAPS and let's figure out a better pay system than the one that we currently have. And that's the crux of the whole situation. Now, under the law, we're required to involve ourselves with the Postal Service again in pay and benefit consultations. And we'll do that once they make their initial proposal to us 45 days after the NALC ratification. and we'll follow through with the process. Until we get the law changed, we'll have to follow that process. So it becomes much more incumbent upon us to get those laws changed that, you know, we don't want them to favor us. We just want them to be fair to us. Right now, they favor the Postal Service, and that's not right. We just want a fair law that gives us a fair chance to have our pay and benefit needs through a negotiated process to be in the best interest of our membership.
It's important to remember that the case that is pending before the U.S. Court of Appeals here in Washington, that covers the past consultative process.
Correct.
Legislation is prospective. That means future. So although they're related, they're not identical, the two issues.
Right.
And that if we can expedite consideration, if we could have a new legislation that could guide us through this process that we're going to be entering shortly.
Absolutely. So you make a good point. The distinction between the 2016 through 2019 process that we're in federal court disputing and this ongoing process, which will invoke upon sometime in 2021, probably the spring of 2021, and moving forward. So it's important if we want to change the system of pay that we have moving forward, we have to change the law.
I want to ask a question about when you go into consultations or when we represent members of NAPS. There are different types of NAPS members.
Right.
We have NAPS members who work in mail processing plants. Mm-hmm. We have NAPS members who work in stations and branches. We have NAPS members who are postmasters. We have NAPS members who work at postal headquarters. They all have different, well, maybe they have similar issues. How do we, when going into consultation or generally for representational purposes, whether it be in the consultative process or other types of processes, there are different issues and there are common issues. How do we, what are those issues?
Right. So the lawsuit, if you recall, the lawsuit was about three issues. The pay system, which we felt was not representative of what we need to have a fair and just pay and benefit system. It was also about the fact that we believe we represent headquarters employees, which we do in all issues of, corrective action, things like that. But we do not represent area and headquarters employees in pay and benefit consultations. So these upcoming pay consultations do not involve headquarters and area employees, and we believe it should. The Postal Service does not. So that was a second part of the lawsuit. And the third part was that we should be able to represent in pay and benefit consultations postmasters. So that was the three legs of the lawsuit. And that is still remains our issue. We believe that the pay system needs to be changed. We know that, and we love to be able to do that with the Postal Service in the consultative process. We should be able to, and we believe we have the documentation to support the fact that we do represent area and headquarters employees for the purposes of pay and benefit consultations. Headquarters employees are in a different pay system, and it's wrong for employees who work under that headquarters umbrella to have a different pay system than the very same people they work next to who work in operational positions. And many, many years ago, decades ago, the headquarters employee was an employee who worked at headquarters, who worked at L'Enfant Plaza. Now we know that we have headquarters employees from sea to shining sea in all types of functions and positions. And we may have more in the future. We don't know. So we should be the one that represents those employees in pay and benefit consultations. And we want to join with our partners and the Postmasters organization because we have over 3,000 postmasters and members of NAPS. We don't want to represent postmasters completely and solely. We want to be able to be at the table with the other management organization to represent postmasters in pay and benefit consultations. So you're correct. While there are differences, we're all under the same umbrella. We're all EAS employees. We all have a very vital role to fill in the movement of the nation's mail. Whether you are a supervisor in a delivery unit who directly supervises clerks and carriers, or you work at a facility that has a headquarters attachment to it, and maybe you work for AMS, or maybe you work for finance, all of those functions or HR, any number of other positions, all of those positions are absolutely as important in moving the nation's mail as the delivery unit supervisors, plant supervisors, and so forth. It all works in conjunction. So everybody should be under the same type of pay system, and that would just be fair. And again, that's all we've ever advocated for is fairness. Right now, this is not a fair playing field. You would never go into a football game, Bob, when you could win all four quarters of the game and lose. And that's what it is right now. When we went through pay consultations and fact-finding last time, everybody agreed that we won the game, except the referee at the end at the Postal Service decided, no, we won. Fair.
Actually, the referee decided in our favor. It's just that the general manager of the team overruled the referee.
However you want to look at it, we won all four quarters of the game and still lost, and that's not fair.
That's the reason we need legislation. That's something we're going to work for
next year. Absolutely.
Let me ask you a final question, and that brings us to 2021. Mm-hmm. What do you think are the most pressing issues confronting EAS-level employees and NAPS members in 2021?
Well, still the pandemic, right? I mean, that's ongoing, and we hope that the vaccines seem to give us a light at the end of the tunnel, that the end may be near. But right now, we've got a very difficult opening few months of 2021 to get through before we start to see the light. So getting through the pandemic safely and healthy and be able to come home every night to our families, that's the number one concern. And getting to that point, I think, is our top issue. You know, beyond that, like I said earlier, I think what was so clearly highlighted was the important and essential role that the Postal Service plays in the fabric of American democracy. Whether it's delivering medicines in a pandemic, delivering parcels to people that don't want to go out because they don't want to be around crowds of folks, or whether it's delivering ballots like we're going to be doing in Georgia in a few weeks. Who is more essential to the fabric of democracy in America than the Postal Service? And now that we all know it, now that the world has seen it, and now that we know how we can make those things more real, which is through legislative activity, that's another substantial issue for us. I mean, I think it's clear the only way we're going to make changes in our lives, whether it's whatever your position on any particular issue would be, 2020 highlighted the need for people to be involved in the democratic process for however you felt about whatever issue was important to you. We rediscovered that nothing is more important than being a part of the process, getting out and advocating for your issue, for your candidate, however you want to do it. So once we get through this pandemic, and once we can start to maybe be together again in our social worlds, I think that the next most important issues are going to be legislative activity so that we can correct a lot of the unfairness around how EAS are viewed in the Postal Service. You know, we have a lot of issues with treatment of EAS, with the pay of EAS, with the entire benefit system of EAS. We have a lot of issues with that, and our voices need to be heard. And what, again, what we want is fairness. That's what we want, a fair playing field. And if you let us do our jobs, I've said it, I don't know how many times, too many times probably, but
every time you've been on this program, you've said it.
I do, and I'll keep saying it. Just let us do our jobs. Let us do what we do, and we'll be fine. And that's what we need.
Well, with that parting statement, Chuck, I want to thank you for joining us on Naps Chat today.
Enjoyed it, as always.
We're glad to have you back when you're available. And
I want to wish everybody a happy holiday season, however you celebrate the holidays. Be safe. Nothing is more important than your families. So be safe and have a great holiday season.
Chuck, thank you for joining us. To our listeners, if you enjoy Naps Chat, please leave a positive review in the Apple Podcast Store. And more important, tell your friends to download our podcast and listen in. Be well and safe until next week.
I'm gonna sit right down and write myself a letter and make me